Yeah, but it's such bullshit.
Being taken.
You know, say you go, oops.
Call meeting order. First on the agenda is modifications. Do we have anything?
No.
Green Mountain Power, they're not here yet. Town Forest and Rec Area Trails Project.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if Steve was going to come tonight because he had some kind of an email into Bob Fisher about trying to get that grant moving along right away. And I don't know if we had to do anything more with that or not. But anyway,
road crew issues.
Yeah, there's a few. We have the executed copy of the grant, so we could start moving forward with that Stiles Brook scoping project. And we have to do with that the same thing we did with the Grout Pond one. We have to have a municipal project manager like that woman, Margo. So the Municipal Assistance Center emailed me today, and that's one of the options is to have our WRC do it. That would be the easiest way to go. Because if we try to hire that out to anybody but them, we got to go through an entire like procurement process and bid and everything else. And they work with them so much, they pretty much, there's just like a questionnaire that WRC has to fill out. So I emailed Margo today. They're willing to do it. So Margo's going to fill out the questionnaire, and then they'll have something for us to sign that's going to put them in.
At this point, do you want a motion to approve WRC?
I would, yeah. I think it would be better if we did.
Is that
so.
True? Is that true?
Yeah, that's what I would do. Just have them do that, and they'll do exactly what they're doing for the Grout Pond project, and they know how to do it. They know how to do all the billing and all the other.
What's their title for that?
It's the role is called Municipal Project Manager. I don't know if it'll actually be Margo or not, but it'll be somebody from WRC.
Okay, so you move to appoint WRC for Municipal Project Manager. Second?
Okay.
So that'll start moving forward. And then I found out about a week and a half ago, that that FLAP grant, that Federal Lands Access Program grant that we got for Grout Pond, there's another round of that coming out. So I emailed Margo and asked her if she knew whether we would be able to apply for a second round of it to get the rest of the money to finish it. And she checked with somebody, and they're quite sure that we can. So when we confirm that we actually can, I think we'll have to go back to the engineer and say, all right, what's your updated figure now so we can start that process, that second grant. The only thing about this one that I'm not 100% clear of is I think there's going to be a 20% match where the other one was fully funded. But no matter what we do, we're going to be on the hook for a match, whether we do one of those TAP grants or whatever. So I think we're all set there. I think we're going to find that they're going to let us do it. The plow truck is going up to Viking tomorrow to get dropped off to start getting built. Tom Fuller will be back, I think, around the last week of August to wrap up those little patches that he has to do over there and a couple little paving projects we have to do on this side, so that should wrap that up. And that's really about it.
Tim's back.
Yep, Tim's back and wanted me to thank everybody for the fruit basket and all their support. And
how's he doing?
He's doing great.
Can you hear it in here?
No.
Nothing?
No, okay. He's deaf in that ear. So he's going up this Friday, and they're gonna put the outer portion of that implant on, I think, and plug it in.
Will that happen?
Yeah.
Okay.
It should.
Cochlear
implant.
I guess. Yeah. It's kind of confusing.
It's a
regular out of one ear.
It's a lot of learning, I guess. He said it's not something you just flip on and you hear. He said, because even the audiologist even told me after my thing that even a regular hearing aid, she said, they're not as simple as just putting it in there. She said it takes a little while to to get them where you hear right.
He's got one good ear and then got the other one.
A millisecond of delay, so nothing.
Yeah. But no, he's doing great. I mean, he hasn't missed a beat. And I think the surgeon told him he's never seen anybody recover so fast from that surgery. He said, I've never seen anybody that passed all the balance tests, you know, 2 weeks after the surgery like he has. So that's why he allowed him to come back. He said, I see no reason why you can't go back to your normal everyday stuff.
That's
so
right.
Yeah, he's doing real good.
Music of Tim's ears,
yeah. 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 No pun intended.
What was the good one?
Yeah. No, he's doing really good, but he said today, tell everybody thanks for, I picked him up some goodies down at Dutton's and the card and everything, and he said he appreciates everybody's, you know, willingness to work with him and help him along. So, we're just grading and ditching. We got a bunch of trees to cut. I'll be on vacation next week, but they have plenty to do. And they know what they have to do. So,
can you grade Kennedy Hill?
You worked on some of it today. Yeah.
The hill was getting
it. Yeah, I know. And it took a hit the other night when we had that thunderstorm. So,
he went up. A little roughed up.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we'll probably hit that in the next week. We're going to hit County Road.
I mean, he was on. I left. Like,
yeah. It's been so dry too.
Yeah.
Grading was so dry.
And then
so you're on vacation, what dates?
I leave Saturday the 16th and I'll be back to work on the 25th. So, which is a Monday. So it'll just be that next week. So.
Okay.
All right. But they got plenty of stuff to do. There's more than enough stuff to do. The company has started cutting trees over on the mountain road for the overhead power. So they're working on that. And that's really about it. There's really not too much else. I'm going to have to send the excavator over to Concord. When the guy came out to do the 1,000-hour service, he found some metal in the axle when he changed the axle oil. And there was a couple of chunks that are of concern. You know, I mean, it seems to be running fine, but it's already 5 years old.
Oh,
you know, and it's going out of warranty in January. So, and they want, and it makes sense. They want to work on it over there because, you know, you get it apart, they're traveling 2.5 hours to get here, and warranty doesn't cover travel time. So we're going to pay for 5 hours of travel every day. And then if the guy gets here and says, oh, geez, you know, I didn't know I needed that part. Now I need this. Then if it's sitting in their shop,
cheaper to truck it over there,
the travel crap. So I think I got Mac Farnsworth lined up to move it when we're ready. And he's pretty reasonable on his moves. I think he only charged Stewart like $750 to move his excavator all the way from Concord. That's pretty cheap. Yeah, that's pretty reasonable, I think, you know, so. So that'll probably go out here within the next couple of weeks. But other than that, I don't really have to do much.
Okay. Next.
Arizona Missions.
Yep. The listeners submitted a stipulation to change Kevin Dano Lab, parcel 12-00038, from 345,800 to 697,100 because they've got the new house built there. Trevor. On that. They built a bigger house and put the mother on. Their house is the mother on fire. So. Anyway.
Was that in the orders? Or?
Yeah.
It's right there. Oh, yeah, we signed it.
Yeah, so just a motion to approve it.
Second. Oh, the only other thing, if anybody notices the gate working wonky down there, it's because it is. And sometimes it's real balky about opening and closing. I don't know why. But some days it's real good. And then the thing that really spurred me to call them was one day I couldn't even make it work with the key. And that never happens. I mean, it always works with the key.
It didn't work. Maybe one time I ordered with my hand for the electric guy, pull it away, and it worked.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
But I think going forward,
some kind of weird energy.
I think I think we may have to start looking for a different gate company, because the guy Chris that's been working on it for 100 years is pretty much retired, and they don't seem to have anybody to replace him. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know when we're going to see him. She said he is coming in like one day a week to help him, but I don't know where we are on that list of one day a week.
Well, let's research it.
Yeah, I was gonna ask Jeff over at the Mountain if they have a company that deals with their gates, like at Village Watch and Mount, you know, if they have a company. I almost think years ago Boatwright had somebody coming out of like Hoosick or Albany or something, somewhere that way, because I think he got pissed off at Springfield and Camden, and I think they had somebody else coming out. So well, Chris was always pretty good, but
all the trouble we've had with that thing over the years.
Yeah.
Almost constantly.
What, the guy's retiring?
Yeah.
Of course, you think they start training somebody well before.
Well, they did for a while, and I'm not sure if the guy worked out.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how well that worked out.
Well, so, let's research it.
Yeah, I'll see if we can have another one, waiting in the wings if he really does, you know.
I mean, I'd be willing to go ahead and do it anyway.
Yeah.
Because we've had I think we turn around and have controls with that one.
Yep. And Scott's covering this week at the dump for Mark.
Is that the first one he's done since he's been?
Pretty much. Yeah. I think he might have done one other Sunday for him, but this is the whole week he's covering. Mark wanted the week off to do some stuff. So
that's good.
And he had arranged that with Scott a while ago.
Shot the bridge with him probably a month or so ago out in front of the house. He seemed like he was doing pretty good.
Yeah. He acts a lot more like himself now. I mean, he's
but he's still having some problems.
Oh, yeah, I think he's still got some issues, but he's a lot better than he was. You know, he's...
Yeah. One question I have. Who did we get those ovens for over there?
From? It was P&F.
From?
Yeah, P&F Appliance in Manchester. Why is that?
Well, apparently they're not... One, you know, it's got those four ovens. One of the bottom ones on one side there is not. It'll bake one cycle and then stop after that.
Jesse was the last one that worked on them last fall, right before the turkey supper. And he replaced all the igniters and all of them.
I don't think it's an igniter. It seems, I don't know.
It's turned on.
Well, I can...
Because it sounds like it'll come on, and then once it's baked through a cycle, and you try to put it in for the next one, it'll shut off on them. That's the best I could tell you.
I don't know.
Sounds like some kind of like a thermocouple issue.
Stay lit.
Yeah.
And they probably all have electric now, the electric spark, so that's why.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, something strange. I mean, there's not too many working parts in there. I don't know. Anyway.
I mean, if you want me to have Jesse come and look at it, he was the last one that worked on it. And I think two out of the three igniters were bad. And he was like, what do you think? I said, put another one in it, because I said it's only a matter of time. You know, I was like, if three of them are bad, change them all, because it's only a matter of time before that one's bad. Yeah. So I'll reach out to him and have him come over. Right. He did it last year, and he's familiar with that.
Who is it?
All Around Appliance. Yeah. It's Jesse Corbeil. He came over right before the turkey dinner last year, because they were saying that they weren't building temperature enough or something like that. He was like, no, that's the igniter. He said it's the... So I'll have him look at him. And maybe what I'll do is I'll just have him stop in here and you can relay what you just told me, because I already forgot. Yeah. So... My retention isn't that well.
Pest control, because it looks like ants are dragging insulation out in the behind the furnace in here, if you look in there.
Ants are dragging it out?
I don't know. There's a lot of insulation there, a bunch of dead ants and live ants mixed in with them. You can look at it, right?
Freaking ants.
And I don't know if Nidos has been over to address that issue with the furnaces over there yet. Last year, when John Burns did all the servicing on all the stuff, he was saying that there was a couple of things that were a little quirky, that the way those furnaces were working. So then recently, the furnaces weren't making heat, but that power vent was running all the time. So I called him up and asked him to come over and look at it. I don't know, I don't remember what he said it was with that, but he got that to turn off. And he had the guy from FW Webb with him. And what he recommended was, he knew you, he kind of a big guy with tattoos at Webb. He know you, he knows Chris, and he knew you.
Okay. Yeah.
And he looked at it and he said, what I would recommend is, he said, those two furnaces are kind of supposed to, one's supposed to work and the other one, the way they have it hooked up is a little screwed up. He said,
what? One of them was never written.
Yeah.
One of them they never touched?
Yeah. Yeah, but what this guy's recommending, he said, for the application you're using it for, where no one's there all the time, he said, I would put a controller on there that when it calls for heat the first time, they both come on. And then when it builds temperature, one of them kicks off and the other one does its work. Right. And then this will also make them work alternately so they both get... Right. And I said, that sounds like it makes sense. And he said, that way you have an event, you come over an hour or two before, and it'll warm it up fast, and then it'll maintain it. And it's going to mean a new thermostat upstairs. And I was like, well, whatever. I mean, what's the cost of a thermostat? I mean, you know, so he was, I don't know if John has come back to do that yet or not.
Okay.
And then there was a couple other little things that he was going to neaten up that Junior didn't, I guess, when he put them in. Walt's offspring.
They had been with some WD-40.
Yeah. So anyway, he said they'll get it running, and then he's got all the other buildings on the list for like the preseason checkup. You know,
yeah.
He said there's really not a lot to do on this one.
Yeah.
He said I'll check yours down there and make sure that filter's okay. And
that's good. He's got that guy John Burns, because he never. All his other guys were all oil guys. And,
yeah. And he has another guy now too. John has another guy that's working with him.
That's good.
So, and John's good. I mean, he's a good guy.
He's been doing it a long time.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. They seem to be, like when we had that no heat issue at the garage last year, he was right up there. And then Kevin still has that unit that he's got to put on there and all. There's a thing that Kevin was talking with John about it.
Southwood?
Yeah. Last year, when we lost the heat at the garage, it was because we had some real funky, like, power going out, but not completely going out, and then coming back on, and then it finally went out.
Yeah.
But Kevin said sometimes when that happens, they call it dirty power when it first comes back on. So Kevin puts a unit on that delays that boiler starting up for about 3 minutes until the power like levels itself out.
Yeah.
And then it's less likely to like fry something on all those controls down there.
Yeah.
And Kevin said, he said, I'm doing them in a lot of houses now, because he said boiler guys are having issues with them. You know, he said we do it quite a bit, but I just got to get Kevin back to do it. And we're also going to change a thermostat.
Do the whole building or just that circuit for the boiler?
Just for the boiler.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's just a unit that goes out on the out there that runs those controls, that it just makes sure that the power's good and even before it.
Yeah, but lets
it.
That.
Yeah.
Just for the boiler.
Oh yeah, no, it has nothing to do with the rest of the building. Yeah. That's why. And we're going to change all the thermostats down there to just a simple thermostat, not one that has like 95,000 different settings that you have to program. Well, you still can't even figure it out. It's confusing as hell. Yeah.
All right. So, town hall requests.
There is a town hall request. I have it. Let me just bring my calendar up.
September 6th.
The fire department would like it for the turkey supper, and I'm just trying to figure out the dates.
November something.
November
13th?
I guess it would be like the 12th through like the 16th. I think the 15th is a Saturday. But they usually use it a few nights before to get ready, and then the day after to clean up. So
And then Tammy Valentine had it for September 6th.
Yep. And then I was going to ask, ever since they've been doing the turkey dinner, Andy Nystrom always donated the turkeys, but obviously that's not going to happen.
No.
How would the town feel about donating them? It's probably about a $350 expense.
Yeah,
I mean, that basically they get like 325, so it's probably not even that. They're usually under a buck a pound. And we could probably order them right through Topher and Kelly and have them delivered right there.
Yeah.
Because they were almost thinking about pulling the plug on it. They're like, you know, if we have to keep buying stuff, we're not going to make any money because they don't make a whole lot on it. And
we should.
I said, let me see what I can do because we all like to go to it. And the community likes to go to it and gives them a little bit of a kick in the ass for their fundraising. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's a good gesture. And
I'll make a motion to do that.
Exactly.
Cool.
All in favor?
Aye.
Done. Selectman Mintz, last meeting.
Well, I can. I wasn't here.
So moved.
Yeah. Any other business that may legally come to the board?
Yeah.
So we got to wait for
the Green Mountain Power.
We're going to wait for the Green Mountain Power.
Why don't we do our liquor control?
Yeah.
If you don't show by then, it's been real, dude.
Yeah. Does he have a cell phone?
I'm texting him right now. It's not Tim. He's on vacation. It's Don Mills out of Brattleboro. And supposedly there's two women coming with him. I don't know. I can't remember what their titles are. I don't know. Huh. Sounded like there was three.
Sounded like a party.
Yeah.
What do we have for liquor?
I'm about ready for
anything
right now.
I got lemonade.
There was a notice that was in the box for the liquor control with a sticker on it.
There was a note, except it was under
right there.
Right there.
What has he got good and tuned up there first night in?
All right, so
Lizzie came up and visited us up there.
Did she?
Yeah, she is.
They were camping up there, right?
No, they stayed with Chris and Devin.
Oh.
For a couple nights, yeah.
They computed the screen. So let's recess.
Okay.
Recess and then open the liquor.
Yeah.
Eight.
Any motion for that?
Make a motion to recess the selectman meeting. Go to liquor control.
Second. Okay. Unofficial.
All right. Liquor control. So there's a first class license and outside consumption and a third class submitted for Upper Standard Coffee Company. They haven't sent in their check for their first class. So I'm not going to issue it until after I get the check. But he said today that he had it in the mail. So I'll just get a motion for those three.
So moved.
Okay. I don't think we're on.
Okay, and then we have a potential. They're going to be submitting a second class license. So if we pre-approve that now, then I can just sign off when I get it and get their check for that.
And motion
for that.
So we'll move.
Yeah. Well.
Have a seat anywhere. You're welcome.
Can you sit right here? Okay.
Oh, well, sure. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So
there's a couple of updated maps okay. For you that okay. Show the
motion to adjourn.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Go here as fast as we could. Yeah,
reconvene
the selectman
meeting.
Yeah, this was perfect timing, actually.
Oh, good.
Our second meeting we got done, too. So.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, we're ready.
Great.
Hey,
I'm Don Mills. I'm the operations supervisor for Brattleboro for Green Mountain Power. And I have Kristen Carlson. She's the vice president of strategic external affairs.
Is that Kristen?
Kristen, yes.
K-R-S-T-E-N.
I-N.
I-N.
C-A-R-S-T-I-N. And then Carlson, like son of Carl.
What was last name?
Carlson, C-A-R-L-S-O-N.
Okay.
And we have Carol Weston, and she's the vice president of Grid Resiliency. So,
Carol, C-A-R-O-L, Weston, W-E-S-T-O-N.
Okay.
So we're bringing a proposal tonight to use the town right-of-way, meaning the dirt roads, for our reliability work that we'd like to do as far as burying underground cable down through the roadways. And we're using a product called cable and conduit. So it's basically Schedule 40 conduit in a roll with the cable already inside of it. We're bringing a large machine. It's got a 10-foot cutting wheel on it, carbide teeth, cuts about an 8-inch swath, 4 feet to 5 feet into the ground. I've talked to Chris about how we plan to put the roads back and also what our plan is for all the culverts. So right now, they're starting work on Mountain Road. Most of that will be aerial. There's a small portion towards the very end of that section of line that we're working on where we'll be cutting into the shoulder of the road. So that won't be
on. That's for John Knoll?
Yes.
That's about the only underground.
Right. Well, that's the only part on that job.
On that job.
Okay. And then we're looking at starting work on West Jamaica Road, and that will go all the way down to the Jamaica town line, and then continue all the way down into the town of Jamaica. We're also looking at Kennedy Road. I haven't seen a map for that yet, but that is on its way, and it'll probably be on next year's construction season. And also Willis Cemetery Road.
The one I heard about. Okay.
Yes.
Willis Cemetery.
Yeah.
So that one will probably, I don't know whether that one will be this, the one that we're going to start with. We are also looking at redoing the aerial wire coming up the Stratton Arlington Road.
I got to tell you one thing about those new poles, high poles, and all that stuff.
Yes.
Like that's it? All I can say.
Yes. Yeah,
when we were 5 miles an hour, we were usually out of power.
Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like, and since that's when, I mean, the only time I think it went out was when that transformer caught fire down in Warsborough, which was, had nothing to do with that, but that stuff works.
Yeah, it does.
Works real well.
Yeah, it's definitely proven itself. So
the underground.
The underground stuff is actually pretty impressive, too. The work that we did on VH4A, which would be like from Townsend, from basically Townsend Dam,
yeah,
heading all the way into Dover, we buried all of that last year.
Sure.
And we went from like 20 to 30 outages during the winter season to one.
Yeah. Yeah, big difference.
Yes.
It is. So we have an agreement that you may have seen already for projects we've come through before. It just talks about what Don said about our commitment to restore the roads as they were to state standards, town and railway standards, replacing the culverts, driving the roads through with the road supervisor both before and after, and providing you as-built.
You have a list of conditions, right?
Yeah, and I think when Don and I talked, I think it's a list that they've pretty much seen everywhere else, and we went over it. It's the same thing that I emailed out to all of you guys. I think it's all pretty standard stuff, and you know, Don and I talked, and I originally... It's all right. I originally said that we wanted like the boxes 15 feet off the road, hoping we could get 12. You know, I mean, I think that was a little extreme. You know, your junction boxes and stuff. I think we get a ton of snow up here, and there's sometimes when we wing two or three times a winter, and we don't want to hit your boxes, and you don't want us to hit your boxes. So I think when I put 15 feet off, I knew that was going to put you out of our right of way, but I was hoping that maybe we could compromise. And I think, as long as we can just all have a conversation about it and look at it in person, so we say, yeah, that looks good, rather than just come back later and say, oh, boy, that doesn't look good. And now it's a pain in your backside and ours, too. So
right, and that's one of the instructions we've given the designers is to push it as far as we can out to the edge of the town right away. So a lot of times, even when they go out to stake, they should be putting that stake as far as they possibly
yeah.
can.
And you can take a look at those before we start work.
Yep. Yeah, that's what we've done that on that project, and they've already moved a couple of poles on the mountain, you know, for us and stuff. And I think that was a good one that you did the other day.
Yeah.
That, I think that will work well.
Yes, our stake
did. Yeah, yeah.
Actually, I have a new map on that if you want it.
No, I think the stake pretty much speaks for itself. Okay. I mean, I think that'll be fine. One question I had that goes maybe a little beyond this, but do you guys have any pole with consolidated, like after you guys go in and build a big overhead job, there's still a bunch of old poles with phone wires on them. Is there any, like, do you have any dog in the fight as far as seeing if they could get those all on one so we can remove those old poles that are just holding up phone lines?
So we've been working with them. I've met with both Consolidated or Fidium right now. And Comcast has, we're going to put that spare duct in there. So the inner duct that we put in, they can divide that with a product called Maxell into three separate conduits within one. And then basically you could have three different cable or phone providers or internet providers in there that have their own fiber, three different companies in that same duct. Right now Comcast has been reaching out to me as far as looking and purchasing that from us, and they would maintain it and then rent it out to the other cable and phone providers.
Yeah.
So right now that's like in progress.
Yeah.
Both upper management as well as our legal team's working on an agreement with Comcast at this point. And also with DV Fiber coming through these areas.
And do you guys own the old poles?
Only up to a certain point. Right? So once we cut them down, then basically after like a 2-year period, they become consolidated.
All right. And then so there's a couple that have nothing on them, and if I pull them down, I'm not going to see a green car show
or
up.
If you let me know where they're at. And
I don't mind knocking them over. There's just
there's
a couple of
poles. I'll come out and pull them.
They're really old, and I mean, I don't mind taking them down. I mean, there's nothing on them. There's literally no wires on them at all. I think they moved them over years ago. There's one down just this side of Bill's Road Corner, and Stuart complains about it every time he wings, and we were riding by it the other morning, and I said, let's just take it out of there, you know, and I said, I'll double check with Don, but I said, I don't think anybody's going to complain, and I said, well, probably you and I are the only ones that know about it.
If it still has numbers on it, like, if you let me know
what
the location is and what the numbers are, I'd rather pull them.
Okay.
And that way I can make up a job order for them,
right,
and then GIS can remove them.
Okay. I don't remember it. I only drive by it every day, so I don't remember if it has numbers on it or not. But I'll find out, and if it does, I'll shoot you a text of it, and I'll give you a location, like a landmark or something.
Yeah,
and then,
that'd be great.
It's not a huge deal, but I was just thinking about it, because when we were riding around the other morning, he said, so are they going to leave the phone lines on these poles for 6 more years? Before? And I said, I really don't know, but I said, I'll ask him when he's at the meeting. But
happy to take those out.
Yeah.
Could you put
fiber
back on?
It's coming.
Yeah, right. So it wasn't Christmas.
I saw Fidium's working this way.
Right? Yeah. We're getting close with a few ways.
They're on Newell Hill today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that stuff on Sheldon Hill, I guess, works pretty good, people are saying.
Is that the Comcast stuff? Is that Comcast?
I don't know.
I think it is.
High speed going up there.
Yeah.
I know, like, Norman Mills said he has really good internet now. Yeah, you know, down where he lives. He said it's really good. If we could just get a phone line at the garage, it would be great. That's consistent, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of the old phone lines here.
Oh, it's awful.
What about Pike
Holly?
Are you
going to
do anything on Pike Holly?
We'll get that way. It won't be this season.
We don't really have too much trouble on Pike Holly.
Usually there's always trouble. There's always used to make it. You probably are well aware of it.
So everything that comes out of the East Jamaica sub is kind of like our priority.
Yeah.
So between that and the stuff going on in Wilmington, those are the two main focuses of the company right now.
Yeah.
Where is the breaking point between Sunderland and Brattleboro, like on the mountain road?
Basically, it's, what is that, County Road?
Yep.
And then it goes a little bit down Pikes Falls Road.
Okay, yeah.
But that's pretty much the split there.
Yeah, and of course there's nothing in between, you know, the one part of it anyway.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And this will give us the ability
to
feed.
That, right?
What's that?
That's going to give you the ability to switch, right?
Right. So, like, if for some reason we lose part of West Jamaica Road, we could feed all the way down West Jamaica Road. Then.
Nice.
Yeah. So we're looking at that for a lot of locations. Not that it affects here too much, but there's been discussion, and it won't happen on these two construction seasons, but maybe in the future, and we've already put wire in for it, is to feed from the Dover substation up past Mount Snow, over the mountain, and then down this way.
Okay.
So that would give us another backup feeder.
No, but since that overhead stuff went, it's awesome.
Yeah. So our goal is to just keep that going, keep that momentum going.
That's right.
You know, and keep storm hardening everything, put as much underground as we possibly can.
Yeah.
And
what do you do when some of that does fail or something? I mean,
it's surprisingly easy to pull out of that duct. Like, so the
really
conduit
is pullable?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
From station to station?
Here's an example. We had probably 1,000-foot run, like going uphill.
Yeah.
And the crew didn't attach it to the one end. And when they cut it, it slid out of the duct down into the road. So it went all the way down to Route 100. And then they had to re-pull it back in. So we know we can pull it out and in.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But it's a roll?
So it comes in a roll.
And it's PVC, though. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, Schedule 40.
EVC. Orange.
The orange is the inner duct, and then our stuff will be, a lot of this will be red.
Okay.
So that's actually 4-aught wire. It's a little bit bigger, and it'll handle the load. So, like, if we need to back feed off of Stratton, we need to feed Stratton.
Well, that's encouraging. If you can,
you can
pull the line through it,
Yeah.
And then when people add on, though, in the middle of it, you got to dig it up, I assume, right?
Yeah, so we have a plan for that as well.
Yeah.
But for the most part, we can either come out of there'll be separate cabinets along the way, like certain distances, or even bury it, like maybe in the shoulder of the road and then out to the house. Yeah. Or depending on right of way, like it's all dependent on that. And there's areas too where we're still going to go aerial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For transformer feeds, single line, like one or two pole line extensions, that kind of thing, that'll still come up the pole and feed that way. And it'll be I don't know how to explain it, but it's basically a box where everything will be terminated inside, and we can plug in an extra cable going out of that box.
Okay. Yep.
So you'll see them at the base of every pole, basically, where it goes aerial.
Okay.
And then we're going up and over larger culverts, so anything over a 36-inch culvert will go up and over. And we've also been coming up and out if we hit, like, large sections of ledge. It becomes pretty expensive. The machine will go through it, but it'll go through it very slowly.
Yeah.
And it's $6,000 for a set of teeth.
Yeah, you're going to save a lot of money for teeth. See, like that mountain road, there's a lot of buried ledge there, right? so that would have probably
been a haul.
That would have been a haul if you tried to do all that.
That led up through that hill. It's 8 to 10 feet deep, at least.
Oh, yeah.
More than that. Yeah. So they blasted all of it off the top and pushed it down into the hole.
Right.
That whole hill going down to Kittleburg from the hole.
Yep.
Not like going through sand or clay.
Yeah, that's bulky there.
Yeah.
Don and I did have a little talk about them staging some stuff down at the town garage. I think you said poles or anything else. Are you guys good with that? I went out on a limb and said, yeah, you can, you know.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't get in your way.
Yeah, no, there's plenty of room. I mean, if you need a pile of poles or if they need to park some stuff or whatever, like I said, you know, we'll make sure that you have access to it on days, and we take Fridays off during the summer.
Right.
But if they need to park up there, if they need to leave a pile of poles or whatever. And did you get, I think he said Tim had already come up with an agreement over at the ski area for Sunbowl?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, good. So there's already material delivered there in kind of containers. And
yep. Good enough. But if you need something at the garage, just have your crew reach out to me, and I can either give them a key to the gate or a clicker or whatever, and then they can get in and out of there when we're not there.
Okay, that'd be great.
That'd be really
super helpful.
Thank you.
Yep.
we have a lot of projects going, so there's a lot of material and having multiple places to put it. Jobs is very
hard. No, there's we got a lot of room down there. There's plenty of room. So, and it's all cameras and the whole nine yards. So, that, you know.
Just curious, when you're burying that power, what are the cable and phone companies doing?
So that we're actually putting a duct in for them.
Yeah.
Yep. And then they can divide that up with that max.
So. Okay.
And then we, at the same locations that we come up with our wire, we'll also come up with the phone. And we'll, what we've been doing, we had boxes that we were putting on top of that, but we've been putting basically 6-inch PVC with a cap on it, because they're going to come in and take our box out and put their own in. So it just makes it a little bit easier. And then you don't see the orange pipe sticking up everywhere. You just see a gray piece of PVC. Mm-hmm. Just a little more pleasing to the eye than an orange pipe laying on the other side of it.
Easy to find,
huh? As we've been doing with all the towns we're working with, we'll send look-ahead schedules of where we're going to be, when, start dates, what's happening on the roads. And to the best of our knowledge, send you two, maybe even 3 weeks look ahead, with the caveat that as things change in the field or we add a new project, we'll update you. And Kristen really takes the lead on making sure we're able to kind of digest everything down in a way that makes sense for whether you want to post it or send it out somewhere, you know, we can work with you in whatever way you want. So just let us know.
And then did you say that you don't do any wheel bearing after October 15th?
That's right.
What is the reason for that?
Just because...
I'm just nosy. I don't care.
We push the limit, and then we get into, the snow and ice.
Yeah, we don't want to have, be restoring the road, and then the snow comes. So we try to... If we stop trenching mid-October, we've got time to, refix the road.
Yeah, up here, you'll only get, one storm in. By that point.
And then you give it a year, we might be able to go to November 1st or 15th, and then we're not. So...
So the trenching will be completed, but the lion crews will still be
there. Yeah.
And then any concerns that you have as far as erosion control, we try to get out and hay and seed all the boxes as we're putting them in.
Yep.
And then sometimes we get caught with a storm.
And the overhead work still continues.
Yeah. That poor guy that laid out that overhead, that Teo guy. Yeah. I think every day he was up here at snow. He was out here, that poor guy. We'd be driving by, that guy's freezing his ass off.
I'm transfer out of here.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Well, a little bit different, especially that mountain road. That has its own climate, right? As you can well attest to.
Yeah, Matt Hill does too.
Yeah.
Just one other question about the side roads that you're putting off for however long. There's no chance that any cable there's no cable or phone replacement lines in the works until after those are replaced, right? You can't see them coming in and putting that up.
None of the fiber companies have reached out to us lately as far as make ready, so they have to pay for space on the pole.
Right.
Unless they're lashing to their existing. So a lot of times what Fidium does is they have the existing copper wire, and they'll just lash the fiber to the copper.
Yeah.
But for the most part, they have to apply to us to get space on the pole, and then if there's not enough space, then we replace the poles and put in larger poles like we've done in the bottom of Sheldon Hill. We did a bunch in a couple other locations, but that was their main feeds. For the most part, and I haven't heard of any work going on.
They've been telling us for 10 years, I'm going to put stuff in down here. Stop the town line.
Talk to cheap.
Anyway,
I don't know whether DB Fiber reached out to the town either. I don't know how far out they're going.
Yeah,
we haven't heard anything about recently.
No, we don't care about
it. 12 years ago, Comcast was flirting with us. They were saying how they were going to be in here, remember? And then they never...
Comcast is probably your closest, because I'm pretty sure that comes all the way south of 100.
Well, they started coming up the Stratton-Arlington Road, but it seemed like when they got to the Stratton line,
they
jammed the brakes on.
For the town. So. Yeah, I just wanted to know what to tell people when they ask them.
Yeah, but that infrastructure will be there, so... When it's time, when they
And then Willis Road, the underground is likely next year?
That might actually happen this year.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Because that's off Stratton Arlington.
All right. Well, then I'll do my homework and get you a map of Willis Road, too, just like that one.
Yeah.
It's easy to do.
It takes a while to remobilize it.
I'd like to say that I can do that, but I can't.
Willis Road is in this one.
It is. Yeah. We would like to do it since we'll be in the area for doing Stratton Arlington.
All right, I'll give you a map.
What's driving that? Is it just because you plan on burying it, or is it something else?
Generally, the machine, you know, if we can keep the machine moving in one general area, it takes a couple days to take it apart, move it, and set it up in a new location. So if we can just move it to the next road, it saves everyone time. So to the extent that we've got roads that are designs are complete, so that's the other thing is we have to do all the designs first. So if designs are complete, we can package roads and we try to do as much as we can. Sometimes we can't, and so then we come back and forth a little. But what we'll be doing over the winter is working on next year's designs and creating more packages that, you know, we can come to you with a set of projects close together. And right now we're working fast and furious to get as much done as we can before the season ends.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anybody else have any questions? Good.
So we'll just get the new, so it looks like you have the agreement there.
So I have the new agreement, and I also stapled...
the extra conditions.
Yeah, the extra conditions on the back of this one, so I don't know if you...
Is it signed?
We can sign that out.
Yeah, we can sign it tonight.
So you want a motion to approve it?
Yes, please.
So would you like to make that motion?
I'll make the motion.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Yeah, and you know how to get a hold of me, Don, and you can share if they need my number, you know, just share my number with whoever.
Okay.
And,
I mean, the communication between us and the towns is super beneficial. So you get what you need, and everybody in town and all the customers benefit from it.
I had to mess with John Nault a little bit the other day. He came over and he said, well, I think they're going to be cutting trees. And so I said to him, no, John, they pulled the plug on that. I said, I'm messing with you, John. I said, it's okay. You don't have to have a heart attack. He said, what do you mean? I was like, forget it. It was a joke. It was a bad one.
That's right. You have more often with him.
Yeah.
The bad part is you gave into him too quick.
Yeah.
You should have kept him on the road for a little bit.
No, I wanted him to leave.
Is that fully endorsed?
Or do you know. I'm not sure if all of you have signed it. I signed it and dated it there, but you need others. I'll PDF and execute it.
Oh, I'm just going to copy and keep me one.
Sounds great. Thank you for waiting for us tonight.
We were
in Jamaica, and we got out of
there. Well, I just texted Don, and I was like, hey, are you still coming up? And
so
we had another meeting.
And I went the wrong way, so I turned around to Don.
Well, I didn't know which way it was fast. Like, is it faster to come up
West Jamaica?
West Jamaica, or is it faster to go through 100 and then up the Skyline?
It's probably 1,000 miles or 100. I mean, it's a lot shorter coming to West Jamaica, but if you don't really know the road,
yeah.
Did you get this page?
Pretty snaky.
That's the second page.
Pretty snaky.
Yeah.
And it's the original. I'm not sure where the other.
No, right? You want the original, right?
Yeah, either one. I just
just
I only have the one.
And keep it for myself. That's all you need, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
I should have showed you the other day.
You want the rest of it? I'll scan.
No, I can just print that other
one. I did message.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I messaged Chris Boozer a couple weeks ago because there's a big pine down by the town garage that's going to take your wires out. And it's starting to uproot.
Yeah.
And Chris knows about it. I messaged Chris about 2 weeks ago and I said, this is going to be a problem this winter. And he said, I'm going to get a tree crew out to take a look at it because it's quite a ways off the road and it's going to go over. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
And it's going to take that little spur line that comes up through the woods that comes up off of West Jamaica.
Yeah.
It kind of slabs Mountain Road.
Right.
And it's about this big around and it's leaning pretty good. So
yeah, I'll double check and make sure it's in there.
Yeah, not a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean,
those guys turn in like three trees.
No, they probably do, because guys like me bug them all the time.
I try to stay on top of them, so I'll just make
Because if I see something, I usually either message him or Jared or one of the guys and say, hey, this is, you know, this is going on.
Just taking note on my
desk. And Chris said, you know, he said, I'll mention it to Don or whatever, and we'll get And I was like, I'm not pushing you. It's not a problem now, but it's going to be a big problem when you've got 45 other outages that you're trying to deal with. And, and it's not an easy one to get to either.
You're not going to have 45 now, putting on the wire.
Well, I hope.
That's right.
I hope that's the case. Sometimes, I hope we don't have any bad snowstorms. But I don't always get my wish.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
No more meetings tonight.
You guys got the culverts.
One more select board. No, just kidding.
Where are you live in?
We're going to stay in Brattleboro.
We're staying in Brattleboro tonight.
Where are you from? Up north?
I'm up here.
That's a good idea.
You used to work out of Wilmington. We found a lot of undergrounds and stuff years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
right. Okay. You must be ready to retire. Been there about 30 years, didn't you?
A little over
20.
I got another
10
years.
Motion to adjourn.
Come on.
We're all in favor.
Oh my God.